Good selections today, good singing. For this morning's message, I'd like to ask you to turn to the book of Hebrews. Chapter 3. Hebrews chapter 3. I'm going to start in the middle of a discourse, but I'm going to explain the discourse to you. I'll start in the middle of the fall, but I'll clear that up real soon. Hebrews chapter 3, beginning in verse 17. But with whom was he grieved 40 years? This is talking about Paul the Apostle wrote the book of Hebrews, and he's talking about the time that the Hebrew children were in the wilderness and God was displeased with them. Verse 17, with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? So he was displeased with them, and their carcasses fell in the wilderness. Verse 18, and to whom sware he that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that believed not? So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. So when they got to the Holy Land, the land that God promised them, that's why we call it the Promised Land. They got there, and Joshua sent spies to scope out the land, look around, and they came back, and they said, oh man, we can't go in there, there's giants, and it's just too bad. And God said, okay, you're not going in, because they did. Hey, I got you out of Egypt from slavery to put you in this land, and now you don't believe me? All right, you're not going in. But to whom swear he that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that believed not? Okay, let's turn to chapter 4, look in verse 6. Chapter 4, verse 6. Seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief. It remaineth some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief. So Moses went down to Egypt. He came back from 40 years in the backside of the desert. He came down. He said, God's going to free you. He's going to give you a land full of milk and honey. It's called the Promised Land. It was first preached to them, but they didn't get to go in. Why? Unbelief. All right, look at verse 11. Verse 11, let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. Father, please bless the message and use it for your honor and glory and for our edification. These things I ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen. The title of my message today is Unbelief. Boy, we got it in America right now. We got unbelief. We got it in the churches. Unbelief. We got it in the pulpit. Unbelief. The Old Testament scriptures, as they deal with history, were written for the New Testament saint for examples, especially as concerning Israel. Now, the Old Testament has a tremendous amount of doctrine in it, and poetry, all kind of wonderful things, prophecy. But when it deals with history, it's for our examples, or the sample from within, family of God. Ensample means sample from within. Example means sample from without. It was written for us. 1 Corinthians 10:11. Now all these things happen unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. That's Christians. The end of the world is going to happen on our dispensation. We're going to get raptured and the tribulation period starts. We are Laodicean church age. And the ends of the world are come upon us. And these things were written for us in the Old Testament. Sometimes people want to discount the Old Testament. That's a terrible mistake. The promise that the Lord gave the Jews was the promised land, Canaan's land. We call it the Holy Land, sometimes Palestine. That is their land. It was a very choice land, a land of milk and honey, but they were not allowed to enter in because of unbelief. The spies, all say Joshua and Caleb, gave an evil report, and the people believed them rather than God. So they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years until that generation died. That's history. Now the promised land is a type for the Christian. It is not heaven. Now I know we sing songs, I shall not have to cross Jordan alone and all that. That's not, it's not salvation. God intends for us to enter in and find rest. When the Christian crosses Jordan, so to speak, he will enter into a land of spiritual milk and honey. He will find rest. This is not rest. There is no rest in the wilderness journey. The rest is over in Canaan's land. But that's a type of the Christian life. When they went over into Canaan's land, what happened? They got into wars, didn't they? They had to conquer things. There was giants in the land, wasn't there? They had to fight. And so that's the way the Christian life is. You cross Jordan, you're saved. But once you cross Jordan, you've got a fighting to do. You've got fighting with the world, the spirit of the flesh, and the devil. And there's a struggle going on before you can find rest. Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. That's where we want to go, buddy. We want to go to him. That's Canaan's land. Fellowship and communion with Christ is our promised land, our holy land, our land of milk and honey. However, just as the Hebrews were unable to enter into their promised land because of unbelief, many Christians will not enter into their promised land because of unbelief. Now here's my sermon. I want us to notice that the Jews were a favored people of God. They had a prepared land for them, but they could not enter in because of unbelief. My second point's going to be this. Nothing but unbelief kept them out of Canaan's land. That was the only thing. And number three is all of us can become believers. Everybody can become believers. Now this is for unsaved sinners. They can become believers. This is for Christians in the church who've been saved for 50 years, but they doubt the word of God. They can become believers. First, let's see that the Jews were a favored people of God, but they could not enter in because of unbelief. Anybody that reads the Bible knows that Jehovah God hates unbelief. This mental and heart attitude of the children of Adam is especially hated of God. Matthew 13:58. Talking about Jesus. And he did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief. When he went to some of these cities, he didn't do any mighty works there. Because they're just as much a sinner as anybody else. They have just as many virtues as anybody else. But the reason he did, because of unbelief. Luke 24:25. Talking about the people on the road that went on the Emmaus road. Then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. You are slow to believe what the prophets have spoken. And he called them fools. The Sermon on the Mount says, call no man a fool, right? If you call a man a fool, you're in danger of hell fire. But these people were fools. God hates unbelief. Mark 16:14. After he appeared unto the 11, this is after the resurrection. And he's talking to the disciples. Afterward, he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. You know, Thomas, he said, I don't believe. He didn't rise from the dead. I tell you what, when I touch his side and the nail prints in his hand, then I'll believe. Jesus rebuked that. After all, he told them it was predicted. Now the Jews had seen wonderful miracles in Egypt. Had they not? Water turned to blood. The livestock became diseased and died, but their livestock stayed alive. Total darkness on the Egyptians, but the Hebrews had lights in their quarters. They saw plagues of locusts, of lice, of frogs. They saw great hailstorms. They ate the Passover inside of a house with blood on the doorpost. But the Egyptians, their firstborn died, but theirs didn't. They were allowed to leave Egypt with all kinds of riches. Man, they had a bunch of riches when they left Egypt. Here's all these slaves had nothing but the clothes on their back. But when they left Egypt, they were loaded down with jewels and gold. The Egyptians gave them all kinds of things when they left. They were pursued to the Red Sea, but God made a path through the sea. And when the Egyptians went in, he drowned them. They saw all that. How can you not believe? During their travels, they were greatly blessed. They saw the bitter waters were made sweet. They were given manna. It's called angel food in the book of Psalms. Man, I'd like to try some of that, wouldn't you? Every morning, and it was fresh. They couldn't keep it overnight except on the Sabbath. They were given fresh water out of a rock. Here's a parched desert. And they got fresh water out of a rock. And then they witnessed the great spectacle of Mount Sinai. I don't think we emphasize this enough. The spectacle that was around Mount Sinai, the thunderings and the lightnings and the trumpets and all the sights that were seen when God brought the law down, that was a big event in the history of mankind, and God did something. We have big old fireworks displays at 4th of July in New York and Chicago, all these places. Everybody tries to outdo everybody else. I don't think they hold a candle to what God did on Mount Sinai. Great spectacle before their eyes. They saw all that. How in the world could they not believe? And then God exercised great patience with these people. In Deuteronomy, he said, I have led you 40 years in the wilderness. Your clothes are not waxing old upon you. And thy shoe is not waxing old upon thy foot. Their shoes lasted 40 years. How long do your shoes last? And you got the best technology the world's ever seen in shoemaking. Our text says he was grieved with them 40 years. Even though they were a stiff-necked people, murmurers and complainers, they tried to overthrow God's man Moses. They made a golden path, a calf, while Moses was on the mount. They spoke about returning to Egypt. Yet God made it that their clothes did not wear out. Their shoes did not wear out. God gave them a cloudy pillar in the daytime and a pillar of fire at night to guide them. He defeated their enemies. Amalek, you know, as long as he's holding the rod up. Now that is patience. These silly modern theologians today tell us that the God of the Old Testament is different from the God of the New Testament. They say the God of the Old Testament is stern. He's a loving God. God is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish. He was long-suffering in the Old Testament, just as he is in the New Testament. He hasn't changed. Yes, these wonderfully blessed people, God's people, the chosen people, could not enter in because of unbelief. Now, my mother never went to church. She never was born again. What she would do is this. Her daddy would dress us up, give us a quarter, and send us to Sunday school. They'd say, go pick us up. And then my mama was finishing her degrees. She wanted to teach retarded people, educable slows. And she had to finish up. She went over to Bryan College to take some courses over there. And that's the first time somebody opened up the Bible to her. She took Old Testament survey and New Testament survey. She got born again. And I come home on leave. And she said, Jim, I want to, she knew I was saved. I was studying in a Bible school up there in Virginia Beach. She said, I've been reading here. Look at what God did for these Israelis. And they turn their back on him. They're always rebelling against him. She said, why? She couldn't understand why God still does that and why God isn't punishing them. And I said, well, Mama, that's the patience of God. I said, us Christians, we do the same thing today. Look at the blessings God has given America. Has he ever blessed anybody else like that, materially speaking? He didn't bless anybody like he did the Jews spiritually. And he's not blessed anybody like us materially. What have we done with it? Yeah. What have we done with the internet? What have we done with radio and television and movies? Have we glorified God with it?
No.
No. We're gone. So that's what I explained to Mama. She said, well, I understand. Well, thank God my mother, she had a ministry of teaching the Edgeable Slows in the Sunday school of First Baptist Church down there. and also in the Methodist Church. These wonderful people, after saying all these things, had unbelief, and God said, I'm not going to let you in because of unbelief. And then I want us to see, secondly, that nothing but unbelief kept them out of Canaan's land. It wasn't their sins. Now, Lord knows they had them. They had made a golden calf. Here, the Egyptians gave them earrings, golden earrings, and all kind of jewelry, gold. You know what? It was for God's glory, and it was for them to give a tithe and build a tabernacle. You know what they did? They broke it off, they melted it down, made a golden calf out of it. And then they had like a sexual orgy going on. And nakedness dancing around. But that wasn't the reason they couldn't go in. They were sinful. They were carnal and rebellious. But God was ready to forgive their sin. He said, we're going to set up a law. We're going to take care of all your sins. We're going to have sacrifices, animal sacrifices. We're going to ordain a priesthood. And all these things can be atoned for. And you can come to me and be reconciled to me and have fellowship with me. He set it all up for them. So it wasn't because of their sin. And it wasn't because of their carnal tendency. God understood them to have been recently slaves in Egypt with its accompanying carnal influence. There was no place as carnal as Egypt in ancient times. Remember the story of Joseph and Potiphar's wife went after Joseph? That was where the Egyptian women were. And there was a lot more going on in Egypt. And archaeologists have seen paintings and stuff. I couldn't describe it in a mixed audience. Well, there was no other ancient society more carnal than Egypt. So he understood that. He was willing to give them time to rise up to the dignity of liberty. One thing about God, he's so much more patient with me than I am with others. Because he understands. And he's willing to give him time. I'll work on it. He's had 26 years of carnality and ungodliness. I can't expect him to come to church, get saved, and next week become a really sanctified believer in the Lord. And that's the way he felt with the Jews and the slaves down there. They needed to rise up. It takes time. Some laws he made for them, he would not make for us. Matthew 19:8, he saith unto them, Moses, because of the hardness of your hearts, suffered you to put away your wife. But from the beginning it was not so. God never intended. God's always intended for man and wife to stay together. But because of the hardness of their hearts and their background, they had 400 years in Egypt, he suffered them to do some of these things. They were not unbelieving because of lack of evidence. They saw it. I mean, before their very eyes, they saw it. And don't forget, the Jews seek after a sign. We seek after wisdom, but they seek after a sign. They were not unbelieving because of the lack of encouragement. They were encouraged to believe. Moses told them over and over again. They were not unbelieving because of the difficulty of the trap. It was difficult, but God always made a way. God had already defeated Amalek. The Egyptians were defeated. And some people believe that the greatest army and empire at that time was the Egyptians. And that may be true. So, they were unable to go in because of unbelief and nothing else. But I want to close the message with this thought. All can become believers. We need to make up our mind and believe the Bible. I don't care what it says, just believe it. And I read many things in the Bible, or a few things. I'd think, hey, can that really be true? And boy, that guilt will hit my heart hard. Of course it's true. God said it is true. And a little while longer, maybe the next year or the next year, I'll read something else. Say, yeah, that's right. He was correct. God hates unbelief so much, he broke off Israel, his chosen people, from the promises that he made to them because of unbelief. In Romans 11:20, the Bible says, well, unbelief, they were broken off. And thou, talking about Christians, standest by faith. Be not high-minded, but fear. Because if he broke them off, his chosen people, they're the natural branches. We're the unnatural branches that get grafted in. He can break us off. But they shall be grafted back in if they believe. Romans 11:23, and they also, if they abide not still in unbelief, shall be grafted in. For God is able to graft them in again. So it all goes, so it all pivots around unbelief. And talk to your heart. Talk to your love. And say, am I going to believe what God said or not? I don't care what anybody says. I'm reading the George Evans. It was my great privilege to meet George Evans when I was a senior in Bible school. And I had fellowship with him and his wife. They just come back from America, from Russia, got out of prison. So I've always been interested in him. And I've got all his books that he wrote. And I encourage you to read all the books that George Evans wrote. And then I found a book that his daughter wrote, Natasha, her biography. And she tells about all the teachers in the Russian public school and how they belittled Christians and told them that the Bible can't be true, Christianity is a false religion, and tried to get them to sign papers. And they'd get George Evans, they'd say, Dan, if you'll sign this paper saying that you renounce Christianity, we'll let you out of prison. You can go home to your family. You wouldn't do it. and the children were under tremendous pressure to renounce God. If they wouldn't do it, they was afraid. One time they were going to take him somewhere and interrogate him, and the boy run off. He wouldn't show up. He just run off. And they did all kind of things to get people not to believe. And the devil knows how to put doubt in your heart and your mind. And the devil knows how to take a college professor and twist around to where you won't believe the Bible if you're not careful. And when you get before anybody out on the street or anywhere, make up your mind, we're going to believe this Bible. Why? God hates unbelief. And he's demonstrated. Any Christian who will make up his mind that he's going to believe whatever God says in his word can enter into rest. I don't know what I would have done if I didn't have the Bible when Brenda was going through her first terrible thing. She was in intensive care for 7 days, and then she had to go back for 14 days because she had two big operation surgeries. And I don't know what I would have done if I hadn't had the Bible. Man, I was desperate. I was like a damp washcloth. Just, I was in that intensive care waiting room. They let you out to visit once every 2 hours. And boy, I'd read, and I couldn't sleep. But I got the Bible out, and I just read it. And then I come to the book of Job, and there it was. Scripture that just calmed my heart. And 4 o'clock, there was a doctor that made all her rounds at 4, early in the morning like that. She came through. She pointed at Brenda, and she said, that is a drug reaction. And she changed her drug, and boom. She got out about the next day. And it all started when I was in there in that room reading Scripture. And I believed God. I believed Him when I read that. You got to have something in this world. If you grab a hold of this world, it's a rope. And you'll sink. There's no hope there. There's nothing. God hates unbelief. We can believe. If you find or discover an evil heart of unbelief, then cry out to God. As the father of the demon-possessed child cried out, he said, Lord, and the Bible says, and straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. Help me. Help my unbelief. If you find out that you're doubting something in the Word of God, that's the first thing the devil did to Eve, was make her doubt the Bible, doubt the Word of God. That's what he tried to do with Jesus. He said, if you're the Son of God, make these stones. What do you mean, if? I am the Son of God. And he said to Eve, yeah, did God really say that if you eat the fruit of the trees of the garden, cast in doubt? Yea, hath God said? We got to believe it. I don't care what it says. We just believe it.
Amen.
And let somebody make fun of you if you say, okay, that's okay. I just believe the Bible. Well, you don't believe this. Yeah, I just believe the Bible. I was witnessing to a guy one time, and I showed him in a psalm where the Bible says, talking about the future, talking about Jesus on the cross, it says, all my bones are out of socket. And this guy was, oh, he was a smart aleck boy. He said, you mean all his bones are out of socket? I said, well, that's what it says. He said, even the little bones in his eardrum here, there's a little bone and a hat thing in there. What am I going to say to that? Well, right now, yeah, I believe all his bones was out of socket. It really hurt. And so he was disgusted. I found out later there's no socket there. It's a kind of, they call it an anvil or something, a hammer. Paul said, you know, when they were in a big storm on the sea, they were going to Rome. And buddy, it was bad. And in those days, they didn't have the ships like we do. They were smaller. And when a big storm came, sometimes they'd capsize the ship. Sometimes the ship fill up with water. Men would go overboard. I mean, it was very, very bad. And they were having one of those big storms. And Jesus appeared unto Saul, Paul, and said, don't worry. Everybody's going to be safe. And he went to the captain and he said, don't you worry. Angel of God appeared to me. Everything's going to be all right. And he said, verse 25, wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. That's what to say. Be of good cheer. I believe God. It shall be even as it was told me. And we're living in the last days. You know what? We've been told what's going to happen in the last days, haven't we? Well, I believe God is going to be even as it was told me. Now today we talked about unbelief. It's something God really hates. The very blessed people of God who were favored and given a great big piece of real estate were not allowed to go in because of unbelief. They saw wonderful miracles. They were greatly blessed and preserved. God had extreme patience. But they didn't believe. So God said, you're not going in. You're going to stay and wander out here in this wilderness for 40 years. And it was nothing but unbelief. It wasn't their sins, which were many. It wasn't their carnality, which was quite a bit. It was not because of lack of evidence. They saw plenty of evidence. It was not because of lack of encouragement. Moses encouraged them all the time, and Joshua and Caleb. They said, let's go, man. They've got a bough over there that's full of grapes. It's so heavy it takes two men to carry it on a stick. Let's go in now. That wasn't the problem. And it was not because of difficulty. Because God smoothed over the difficulty. It was because of unbelief. And then we close. All of us can become believers. We just got to make up our mind. We're going to believe whatever this Bible says in the context, in plain English. Whatever it says, we believe. I don't care who makes fun of us, who ridicules us, who laughs at us. I keep remembering when I was on board ship, in my compartment, there was this obnoxious. I hope y'all don't get mad at me, but he was obnoxious. And he was all the time trying to trip me up on this, that, and the other. One day he said to me, I said something about didn't believe in evolution. He said, "You don't believe in evolution?" That's how he said it. I said, "Well, everybody believes in evolution." I said, "No. I believe God created heaven and the earth. I believe He made man out of dust of the ground. And I believe He made him a woman from his rib." Yeah, I believe that. God said it. Was you around when that happened? No. Well, God was, and He wrote it down. So don't tell me it didn't happen. You weren't there. And you can say that to any scientist. They weren't there, and they didn't have sense enough to look it up. God created the heaven and the earth. And the Bible tells us that more in one place, too. Just believe the Word of God. Okay, let's stand on our feet. I want us to have a little invitation hymn. You may be having trouble with